Will come to order. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Flickrey.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell. Campbell. Kennedy.
Here.
Childers. Childers. Connolly,
here.
Kraft,
here.
Davison,
here.
Edmonds,
here.
Eklund,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Gingery,
here.
Goggles excused, Greer,
here.
Green,
here.
Harshman, Harshman, Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Illaway,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Kasparic,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Lockhart, Laux,
here.
Lubno,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
McComey,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Petroff, Petroff,
Korberg, here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Shepperson, Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Peters,
here.
Throne, Throne, Ronish,
here.
Wallace, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Campbell,
here.
Harshman, Harshman, Petroff, Petroff, Wallace, Wallace. Fifty-six present, one excused, three absent.
Please rise and join me in the prayer by the Reverend Bob Gerard from the First Presbyterian Church here in Cheyenne.
Let us pray. It is another Monday, Lord, where chaos and confusion often seem to be the first aspects of your creation to greet us. Yet as it was in the beginning when the earth was formless, a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, so it is today that you are present among us, your public servants, where your spirit sweeps over us to make order of the chaos and give clarity amidst any confusion. Set again for us safe boundaries where the seas of issues might not pass and overwhelm us. Strengthen the ability to focus on the moment in these women and men as they ponder and discuss the many joys and concerns of this state that stand before them on this particular day. When they begin to get lost and worry about tomorrow, as the captain of this ship of state, steer them back to the land of the sensible, sound, and found. We praise you, Lord, for going ahead of us while still walking with us in this day. We pray that as you look upon the efforts of these your servants in this period of time, you will call it good. Amen.
We are at that order of business journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of January 21st, 2011 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Kasparik, Representative Freeman.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the doctor of the day, Dr. Gill from Cheyenne, and nurses of the day, Samantha English and Deanna Headland from Wyoming Medical Center in Casper. Please welcome. We are at that order of business, introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 198.
House Bill 198, introduced by Representative Burkhart.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to civil and criminal procedure, admissibility of evidence in sex offense cases.
House Bill 198 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 203.
House Bill 203, introduced by Representative Lubner.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to domestic relations, child support orders.
House Bill 203 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 200.
House Bill 200, introduced by Representative Gingrey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to property taxation.
House Bill 200 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 196.
House Bill 196, introduced by Representative Kraft.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to dual credit course instruction.
House Bill 196 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 197.
House Bill 197, introduced by Representative Burkhart.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to cities and towns regarding nuisance abatement.
House Bill 197 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 89.
House Bill 89, introduced by Representative Esquivel.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Safe Transportation of Wyoming Workers Act.
House Bill 89 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 195.
House Bill 195, introduced by Representative Vranish.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicle registration.
House Bill 195 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 201.
House Bill 201, introduced by Representative Pedersen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to consumer protection regarding health care qualifications in advertising.
House Bill 201 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, Social Services. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 205.
House Bill 205, introduced by Representative Buchanan.
First reading of the
bill. An act relating to professions and occupations, electronic application process for Board of Nursing.
House Bill 205 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, Social Services. We're at that order of business, reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 138, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Childers, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semlek, No, Licorey, Camel, Vranish, Excused, Goggles, signed Representative Miller, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 127, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters, signed Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 133, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, McKim, McComey, Petrov, Shepperson, signed Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 41, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Quarberg, Zwanitzer, Dave, No, Vranish, signed Representative Quarberg, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 35, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Gay, Gingrich, Green, Hunt, Peasley, No, Barbuto, Kraft, Harvey, Miller. Signed, Representative Harvey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 118, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass, with amendments. Ayes, Gay, Gingrich, Green, Harvey, Hunt, Miller, Peasley, No, Barbuto, Kraft, signed, Representative Harvey, Chairman.
We are at that order of business bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 27.
House Bill 27, introduced by Representative Gingrich, an act relating to education regarding school year required contact days.
House Bill 27 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 31.
House Bill 31, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to the Paramutual Commission.
House Bill 31, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 68.
House Bill 68, introduced by Representative Buchanan, an act relating to crimes and offenses, violent felony definition expansion.
House Bill 68, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 69.
House Bill 69, introduced by Representative Buchanan, an act relating to controlled substances, prescriptions for marijuana invalid.
House Bill 69, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 79.
House Bill 79, introduced by Representative Buchanan, an act relating to the establishment of private roads.
House Bill 79, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 80.
House Bill 80, introduced by Representative Davison, an act relating to service of process in family, violence, and stalking cases.
House Bill 80, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 101.
House Bill 101, introduced by Representative Moniz, an act relating to game and fish, vicious animals, interference with game wardens.
House Bill 101, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 105.
House Bill 105, introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to child custody and visitation regarding temporary military duty.
House Bill 105, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 112.
House Bill 112, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to environmental quality regarding mining permits.
House Bill 112, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are now at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage, consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 8, House Bill 33, House Bill 111, and House Bill 117.
Would anyone like any of the bills on the consent list removed at this time? The reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 108, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to food, Wyoming Traditional Food Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 33, introduced by Representative McComey, an act relating to motor vehicles exceeding speed limit while passing, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 111, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to works and contracts, public works and contracts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 117, introduced by Representative Illaway, an act relating to sales and use taxes, data processing services, centers tax exemptions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner. Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt. Hunt. Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Steward.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Hunt. Hunt. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 excused, 1 absent. As to House Bill 8, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 excused, 1 absent. As to House Bill 33, are there any changes? Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 1 excused, 1 absent. As to House Bill 111, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 excused, 1 absent. As to House Bill 117, are there any changes? Simlek, aye to no. Stewart, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Gay, aye to no. McComey, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 6 no, 1 excused, 1 absent.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills number 8, 33, 111, and 117 have passed the House. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 42.
House Bill 42, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to coroners regarding coroner record confidentiality, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move for a third reading amendment number one and ask for your favorable consideration. This is, I think, in the nature of cleanup on page four. We had limited the ability of coroners to distribute their findings and reports and photographs, et cetera, to only pathologists and forensic scientists. And just in thinking about it, there are a lot of circumstances where there may be other forms of expertise that a coroner may want to rely upon in his investigation. So this just broadens that and allows him to share those things with any appropriate expert that he is utilizing in the course of his investigation.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I consider this a good amendment and good cleanup, and I would urge you to vote for it.
Question being called on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 42. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 42 has been adopted. Representative Simlek, Chairman Simlek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move a second reading third reading amendment number two to House Bill 42 and ask for your favorable consideration. During the committee, the whole discussion, I think it became fairly obvious to most of the body that some of the exemptions in here for the release of information in regards to the video recording and the audio recording was pretty self-evident. I don't think anybody was in particular interest in doing that. But we did have some discussion about the toxicology report, and we said this was kind of a tipping point in this whole issue. We wasn't really sure what to do with that particular report. So I provided some consideration here for us with respect to the toxicology report in this amendment. And it just it really talks about what would be the reasons with respect to a person's cause of death that this information maybe should be released. We talk about infectious disease, biological toxins, or other causes which may constitute a public health emergency. And then it says the coroner shall release this information under these conditions. And then it goes on down talking about the state health official or his designee determines upon examination results of the autopsy and the toxicology report that a public health emergency may, in fact, exist. And then the information should be released. The other things that we talked about in the committee of the whole, I'm just not sure it's appropriate that they're released. I don't, they're kind of a privacy issue, and the nature of a family issue. I just don't think it's necessary to release them. But things in the report that might reflect the things we talked about here in this amendment, I just thought maybe, you know, we would split the compromise here somewhat and say these can be released, the others shouldn't. So I just ask for your consideration. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I consider this a good amendment, and I appreciate the good chairman for bringing this to further clarify what I think may have actually already been in there, but I think this is good clarification, and I would urge you to vote aye.
Assuming the question's been called, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 42, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 42 has been adopted. House Bill 42 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly. Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Ronish, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 42 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 42 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 62.
House Bill 62, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 62, and I will explain the amendment. It is a technical amendment to fix our work in committee, and because it is third reading, I want to take just a moment and be sure that everyone is comfortable with it. First of all, page 2, line 7, delete specifying penalties. Page 12, line 13, strike 2, and insert as follows. Technical amendments, but nonetheless, this is the third reading. Page 12, line 15, strike sales. Page 12, line 16 and 17, delete the standing committee amendment and delete all new language. So we're back to the existing bill. Strike all existing language and then insert so that this is clear. No person shall obtain more than a total of 3 6/10 grams per calendar day, regardless of the number of. Page 12, line 18. After transactions, submit or insert a comma. And finally, on page 12, after line 21, insert Romanet 2, which reads as shown in the third reading amendment. It would be Romanet 2. All sales in blister packs shall contain not more than 2 dosage units, or when the use of blister packs is not technically feasible, sales shall be in unit dose packets or pouches. Page 13, line 7, strike as described in. Page 13, line 8, strike subsection G of this section and insert language of a product containing methamphetamine precursor drugs. Mr. Speaker, those are technical amendments that were caught by our attorneys after we had worked the bill and even after second reading, and I would urge your favorable consideration on third reading amendment number one.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have a question for my first time. I guess I'm a little bit concerned about the technical amendment that was made on page 12, lines 16 and 17. Talking about sales not to exceed a daily amount, to me, is a little bit differently than saying no person shall obtain more than a total of 3 6/10 grams per calendar day. I'm wondering how a law-abiding citizen is going to know what a total of 3 6/10 grams per calendar day is, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to remind everyone where this came from, this was trying to make our law similar to the federal law, so that our schedules met up, so that a pharmacist wasn't trying to use two different sets of laws in his pharmacy. What the law used to read was 3 grams, and it's actually increasing it to 3.6. And my understanding, that 3.6 corresponds to what you get in the bottle from the pharmacist. So actually 3.6 actually made more sense than the 3, because that's what actually you would probably be receiving is 3.6 when you actually got it. And so it's essentially one time per day you're going to come in and get that prescription or obtain that particular type of precursor drug. So it's actually increasing from 3 to 3.6 to sort of address what the last speaker just said, so it actually fit with what you were actually receiving in the bottle.
For first time, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question, and that is, I mean, if I'm the mom, and my family calls me Dr. Mom, and I've got 3 or 4 members of my household that are ill, then do I have to have different people go pick up medication to treat more than one person in my family? And there again, I'm talking about law-abiding people. If I can only get one dose per day per person, how am I going to get enough to treat more than one person in my family who is ill?
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Second time? Second time, Representative Gingrey.
Just to answer the last question, that should be enough for actually more than one person. Just to remind you, we actually passed this law, 4 or 5 years ago, when there was a big issue with methamphetamine, and this is the precursors to the drug that people would buy in order to make methamphetamine. And so we passed a law to restrict how much you could buy per day, so that you weren't taking a bunch home and making methamphetamine in your bathtub. So the law's already on the books. All we were doing was increasing how much you could actually get, so going from 3 to 3.6. We're trying to change the intent of the law. I think that if we want to change that, I think that would be a separate type of bill. But all this was doing was just increasing how much you could pick up per day.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time? Not even the good representative. Okay, question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 62, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 62 has been adopted. House Bill 62 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger. Blake,
aye.
Flickery,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Botten,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingrey,
aye.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman. Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Peasley,
aye. Peterson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Vronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 4 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 62 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 62 has passed the House. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 74.
House Bill 74, introduced by Representative Peterson, an act relating to marriage, validity of marriages, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will take up third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 74 because the first amendment that's offered here on third reading to 74 is a delete the enacting clause. So we take that up last. So we will be on third reading amendment number 2, Representative Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 74 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this amendment does is focus this bill back on what it's intended to do, which is to make our statutes consistent. The language that was in the bill that no Wyoming court shall have jurisdiction over any domestic civil union or titled marriage or involving parties who are not a male or female person was troubling to me because as the law exists now, our courts do have jurisdiction over those relationships. And if there's a dissolution of marriage, We apply the Partnership Act. If there's a custody battle, we apply the paternity statutes. And by virtue of the language in this bill, we would strip the courts from the opportunity of making those kind of dissolutions for domestic civil unions. What this amendment does is it says that if the relationship is void under subsection A of the section, it shall not be entitled to the legal obligations of a marriage, which is what essentially this bill is intended to do. If you look at our statutes, marriage is a civil contract between a male and female person to which the consent of the parties capable of contracting is essential, and that's Wyoming Statute 21101. If you look at Wyoming Statute 21111, it says, marriage contracts which are valid by the laws of the country in which they're contracted are valid in this state. And so that was treating people differently under same circumstances. It was treating the people who live in Wyoming different than the people who moved to Wyoming. And so what this amendment does is it works to treat people similarly situated the same way under our marriage statute. And I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Anyone for their first time? Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And looking at this proposed amendment, I certainly encourage the body to adopt it. I have had discussions with LSO. We've looked at the statutes and various other legal matters pertaining to this. I think it clarifies, it broadens, and answers some questions that were raised up in it. So I'd urge the body to adopt this amendment. Certainly friendly.
Anyone else? Anyone else for their second time? Question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 74, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 74 is adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 74. Representative Zawanitz or Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 74 and will remove it at the appropriate time. This bill has changed some since the Committee of the Whole discussion with some of the amendments now, and I want to bring up some new concerns I have on the bill. What we've done with the last three amendments is further define the bill from simply being about the term marriage and moving it past the point of common sense to restricting all same-sex valid contracts from existing in the state. And there's a vast difference, I believe, in how this bill is being presented and what we're actually doing now with the bill. And I think that everyone in this body can pretty much agree the majority of Wyoming is not ready for same-sex marriage. The opponents of this bill, we certainly understand that, and we agree most of you understand that, but we also know that this is part of a national and international debate that we're all having on this issue, not just in our country, but in all foreign countries, and we're all in this trying to figure it out together. And I would say most people are torn. We realize that marriage is a very personal and a very sacred term to a lot of people. I mean, hopefully to everyone. It sure is to me. But I think most of us also agree that people of the same gender can love just as strongly as anyone else, and that they should be entitled or have access to some of the same basic protections and rights that are afforded to marriages in many cases. So what other countries have done are pass civil unions and domestic partnerships, whatever you want to call them, and whatever each country and each state has called them is somewhat different, that afford some of these basic protections. However, we're including these same type of basic protected relationships in our bill, and we're invalidating them. It's no longer a bill that's about upholding the term marriage. It's about being discriminatory to gays and lesbians, some of which who've never asked for marriages. They've just asked for the basic protections. And it's not that they don't care about the term that's given to the word marriage. Most of them aren't trying to attack the institution of marriage. They just care about the basic fairness given to them and the person they love to live a life together that they think everyone should be entitled to. And other states and other foreign countries have recognized this basic fact of civil unions. And in the interest of proper protocol, some of these states include the Golden State, the Constitution State, the Prairie State, the Pine Tree State, the Granite State, the Garden State, the Beaver State, the Green Mountain State, and the Evergreen State. All allow you to have a domestic union, a civil union, etc. Foreign countries have recognized this. In the last 8 years, foreign countries that recognize civil unions include Norway, Sweden, Iceland, Greenland, the Netherlands, France, Belgium, Finland, Argentina, Germany, Luxembourg, United Kingdom, the Czech Republic, Slovenia, Switzerland, Hungary, Austria, and as of 2 months ago, the country of Ireland. And what this bill now does is invalidate all of those non-marriages relationships that other states and countries allow. And I don't think that's what we set out to do, in my opinion, on this bill. Maybe we did, if someone would clarify that. What I thought we set out to do was further define marriage, to protect the term marriage. But we didn't set out to restrict and validate contracts that aren't marriage, but that's what we're about to do here. And if you feel strongly about same-sex marriage, hey, we have a bill. It's House Bill 149. We can debate, and we as a state can come to a decision that we don't want to allow same-sex marriage in our state, like 40 other states. But we're not a state that invalidates contracts that aren't marriage. Why are we harming people that never attempted to get a marriage? I know some people don't believe this, but I have several friends who are very, very religious, and they're gay, and they're lesbian, and they don't want an official marriage because they understand the sacredness of the term. But they do want the same basic protections afforded to them. And I'm not trying to advocate for Wyoming to take a bold new step into the future in this area. I'm just asking us not to take a step back, because we know this is a contentious issue that's raging across the national debate. And I'm not sure where we want to be on it, but hopefully we can hold the status quo until it's decided. I think this bill, it hurts tourism. It hurts certain businesses from wanting to locate and visit here. It hurts attracting some of the best and brightest young people who do care about these issues from moving to Wyoming, the way they see our state. And I would open the debate to discussion at this time. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. Anyone else for their first time, Representative Byrd. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm troubled by this. I wrestled with this idea all weekend. I am all for protecting marriage, if that's what we're going to do. But as I read this as amended, it doesn't do that. Basically, what it does is it singles out a class of people and statutorily approves discriminatory practices towards that group of people. And remember, voting up on this today will pretty much crush these people's hopes, dreams, and aspirations. And I don't think that's where we want to go as a body on this. I think that this topic needs to be clarified. The statute that we have on the books is sufficient. But as for taking a group of individuals and crushing their whole outlook on life by voting on something to this nature is just cruel and beyond this body.
Representative Childers.
Mr. Speaker, on and against the bill, I've stated my position any number of times on this, and I've stated why. But I'm also reminded of my youth. Growing up, I grew up in a segregated city. Not totally segregated state, but a segregated city. The city pretty well followed what was going on in the other parts of the state. And also, I'm ashamed to say that my ancestors were on the part of the South. There were a number of them that were extremely good people. There were a number of them that should have been in jail most of the time. And while it's humorous in some ways, in other ways, the way they treated blacks, they deserved to be in jail. Now, what does this have to do with this? A lot. An awful lot, because what we're doing is exactly what happened in the South. I remember growing up, and if you saw a black man and a white woman together, oh boy, that was trouble. Everybody was quite upset if you saw that happen. If they were married, it was even worse. but the state that I grew up in did change somewhat. It's not perfect. It probably still considers the same thing in a lot of ways, and there it continues to be prejudiced in a lot of ways. And what we're doing with this law is basically setting up the same situation that the state that I grew up in and many of the southern states did. They denied the right of a black person marrying a white person. Now what we're doing here is with gays. Now, I've tried to discuss that the marriage issue and the civil union issue should be separated. And we should separate it. If a church wants to deny somebody the right to be married, fine. That's a church issue. We have a separation of church and state. But when it comes to the laws of the state, when it comes to the laws, we need to provide equal rights to all people, all people. And with this bill, we aren't. I have a lengthy email that basically said what I've been thinking. I don't know the person. They came from the center part of the state. But basically they said, trying to find the light. When you have trifocals, you have a heck of a time. Okay, for those of you who support this bill, would you also support a bill that would not recognize a marriage between a white man and a black woman? It goes on any number of those things. We've got to separate the religious issue from the legal issue. This bill doesn't do it. It even complicates it more because it says the courts are not going to recognize the rights of anybody that comes to this state that has had a legal civil union or marriage. Where are their rights when they come to this state? They should have rights. We welcome people coming to this state. But apparently with this bill we're going to pass, that we're trying to pass, we're going to not recognize a certain class of people. That is flat wrong. I urge you to vote against the bill.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise against the bill, on and against the bill. I, too, would like to see Wyoming not take a step backward. It seems that in Wyoming we have traditionally been in favor of personal freedom, and we've also been in favor of little government intrusion into our lives. In Wyoming, we've been deciding for ourselves what is good for our families forever and ever, and without the state, without the help of state government. I think we've done a good job at that. I hope we would stand on the side of personal freedom and on the side of keeping state government out of our lives on this bill as well. I think we have a lot of state work we should continue to do, and if we can eliminate the Senate from having to deal with this for a few days, we'll get on with the work of the people. Thank you.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends, in your boxes, you have a handout that's called The Reality of Enacting House Bill 74, and I'd like to just spend a couple of moments going over some of those points. House Bill 74 right now would void a legally binding civil contract be formed in another state, marriages, and now civil unions. It's one more way that the government is intruding into our lives in bedrooms, something that we don't want. It would take away a legal status from an unquantified number of Wyoming citizens. It hurts folks, and it does nothing to help an individual, a family, our community, or the state. It limits important rights for Wyoming couples, including hospital visitation, Social Security, and lower taxes, and it sends a clear message of intolerance with Wyoming, within Wyoming and across the nation. It does institutionalize discrimination. But let's be clear about what House Bill 74 doesn't do. It doesn't allow marriages to be performed between same-sex couples. It doesn't affect religious institutions from choosing who they do and do not marry. It doesn't make better parents or healthier children. It doesn't allow polygamy. It doesn't protect our society. And friends, last week we received a handout at our desk that honestly was filled with lots of misperceptions. And so what this handout does is give you more data to look at, more information about some of those misperceptions. One misconception, recognition of same-sex marriages costs Wyoming taxpayer money. That just isn't true. Studies from other states, when they've looked at civil unions and domestic partnership laws, have indicated that, in fact, the enactment of civil unions, domestic partnerships, or same-sex marriages, in fact, lowers the amount of taxpayer dollars. Because, in all honesty, those relationships then are income from both parties needs to be taken into account. House Bill 74 doesn't close a loophole. Pure and simple, this legislation would nullify a legally binding contract from another state. This is not simply a statutory cleanup. And then on the back, there are misconceptions about what it means to be a member of a same-sex couple in the state of Wyoming, what's possible and what isn't. It's a misconception that same-sex couples can go to a lawyer and have contracts drawn up between them that take care of every right, duty, and obligation and benefit that different sex couples have. As you'll see in that first bullet point, that just isn't the case. And finally, and one honestly that I found so personally difficult, is the notion that same-sex couples are not good parents. And what you see here is the overwhelming evidence that indicates that same-sex couples can be and are as good parents as different-sex couples. And if you look in the middle of that last bullet point, you'll see that the American Psychoanalytic Association has declared that accumulated evidence suggests that the best interest of the child requires attachment to committed, nurturing, and competent parents. Evaluation of an individual or couple for these parental qualities should be determined without prejudice regarding sexual orientation. Gay and lesbian individuals and couples are capable of meeting the best interests of the child and should be afforded the same rights and should accept the same responsibility as heterosexual parents. Amen. All right. On and against this bill.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What I need to have somebody answer is in regard to how this bill has been changed with the amendment we just acted on that brought forth by the majority floor leader. Now, the way, you know, it's kind of written backwards in the sense that it tells which ones shall not be entitled to the legal obligations. But to me, the way I look at it now, that if these are marriages or civil unions that have occurred elsewhere, any place but Wyoming, then they are entitled to the legal obligations and responsibilities and so forth and so on. And I guess that's important to me because the rights, the basket of rights that everybody has in the state should be equal and should not be controlled by the type of union that exists between a person. And I guess I'd like to know if I hear some people at the mics saying that no, the equal rights aren't there yet. And as far as I can see, the only right that isn't there is that we don't have marriages between
that people of the same sex. But I just need a little help with that by one of the better lawyers that we have in here, and I'm assuming there's going to be several lawyers running up to the microphone all thinking they're the best. So we'll see what happens. Thank you.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What we're talking about in this bill is a liberty that is recognized by other states, and it's a liberty that we are trying to strip away, that this bill is trying to strip away from people to whom it was recognized. And I just don't think that our state is the kind of state that strips away liberties. And if we're going to start cherry-picking liberties, the next time it might be the liberty that's important to you or that's important to me that is on the chopping block. I've never thought of our state as being the first state to grant women the right to vote. I've thought of our state as being the first state to recognize the fundamental right of women to participate in our democracy. And I don't think that we have the right to take away this liberty from a group of people to whom it's been granted. We have the responsibility to recognize that liberty.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the amendment, against the bill. I just pulled this off the internet. The Great Seal of the State of Wyoming was adopted by the second legislature in 1893, revised by the 16th legislature in 1921. The two dates of the Great Seal, 1869-1890, commemorate the organization of the territorial government and Wyoming's admission to the Union. The draped figure in the center, which I look up at often, holds a staff from which flows a banner bearing the words, Equal Rights. This is a bill that is going to take away people's rights. Maybe if we pass this bill, maybe we should look into putting an asterisk behind Equal Rights, against the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? For the first time, Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising against the amendment and for the bill, there's probably not a lot that we can say that hasn't already been said, but this is not about, however, ruling against any single class of people. What we're really talking about is a relationship between two people that's so profound that at some point 9 months later they might give it a name. The state has a vested interest in the rearing of children. Children come from a man and a woman. Nobody questions the potential of anybody to be a good parent. And unfortunately, many people end up in situations where they may be single parents or may not be able to be parents at all. But studies tend to show that children do develop best in the setting of a mom and a dad. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Nicholas, for your first time.
Mr. Chairman, I would speak for the amendment but against the bill. And the reasoning that I would speak against the bill is that even as amended, it appears to me that, first of all, I believe that marriage is a sacrosanct and should be protected at all costs. But this bill goes one step further than that and includes domestic legal unions. And I think, in concurrence with previous speakers, that they should be separated. There's a bill currently in the Senate that addresses that issue. And if that comes over here, then this is going to have to be changed anyway, depending on how this body deals with it. But when you have a civil union and two parties, say, come here from Norway, and they want to annul or deal with their civil union, there needs to be a legal mechanism to handle that. If their home is here, if their children are here, or whatever the situation is, this bill is saying there's no jurisdiction over them. And so that just creates a hole that, from a legal standpoint, it doesn't make sense to me. So I'm entirely in favor of protecting the right to a marriage, but I think that a civil union should be treated separately. Thank you.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sometimes we get down here and we get all high and mighty talking about philosophy and forget the specific language of the bill. And I urge you to read the bill, and I urge you to read it in context to the other statutes. Because what we do with our Wyoming statutes right now is, if you live in Wyoming, our policy has been since statehood that marriage is between a man and a woman. If you move into the state from outside the state, you are treated differently. And what this bill simply says is, the policy that's good enough for the citizens of the state of Wyoming is good enough for people who move to Wyoming. Now, if you like it the other way, bring a bill that says that. There's still time. But right now, what this does is it just defines rights. And this legislature defines all types of rights. If you pay a fee, you can go and abide by the rules. You can go to our state parks. That doesn't make me any less of a Melissaphobe by going and doing that. But you can do that. If you are 16 years old and you pass a test, you can drive a car. And we define those rights. If you go to high school, you graduate from a Wyoming high school, and you get a certain score on an ACT, you can get the Hathaway Scholarship. That doesn't make us a sociophobe or a sophophobe or an epistophobe. It just says that those are the qualifications, and if you meet those qualifications, you get those rights. If you go to the law school and you graduate an accredited law school and you take a test and you pass the test, then you can be a lawyer. That doesn't mean that I'm denying the civil rights of everybody else who's not a lawyer. It just means you have to meet certain qualifications in the statutes to get certain types of rights. We have a statute that says you have to be 16 years old in the state of Wyoming to get married. That doesn't mean that we're discriminating against the civil rights of 15-year-olds or 14-year-olds or 13-year-olds or 12-year-olds who want to get married. It's the qualification that you have to have. In Wyoming, you can't be a bigamist. But if you move to Wyoming from the Middle East and you're a sheik and you've got 59 wives, we recognize that because that's what our statute says. This bill fixes this. Now, it doesn't outlaw behavior. That civil rights battle was had in the 1960s. The statute that we had at statehood was Section 884 that says, the infamous crime against nature, either with man or beast, shall be subject the offender to be punished by imprisonment in a penitentiary for a term not less than 1 year. Such imprisonment may extend to life. That was our statute at statehood. We're not reenacting that statute. We had a statute here in the 60s that I can't bring myself to read on the floor. And we're not going back there. What we're doing is we're simply defining marriage. And if we wanted to define civil unions, that bill is existing and it can come out and we can define civil unions. But right now, all we're doing with this bill, if you read the language of the bill, is making it consistent. Consistent with people who live in the state of Wyoming and people who move to the state of Wyoming.
Representative Throne, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The good representative from Johnson County is going to regret that he invited attorneys to offer their opinions. Because this attorney did not plan to speak today. But I have to respectfully disagree with my old buddy from the land of the camels. This bill very much takes away rights. If someone comes into this state from the state to the south, where they have had a common law marriage, we do not recognize common law marriage in the state of Wyoming, frankly, for good reasons, because I think people ought to actually go through some sort of formal process to become married. But we do not tell those folks from the state to the south that they have to go back from whence they came to dissolve their union. Under the bill, as amended today, if a same-sex couple is driving across this state, don't plan to stop, don't plan to live here, don't plan to move here, and they are in a car accident on I-80, under this bill, as amended, if one of them dies in a car accident and they have a civil union from another state, the local coroner will not be able to release the body to the surviving partner. That's what we're doing here. We are taking away rights that we give people every single day when they come into this state, when they move to this state. If somebody comes from a state where the age of consent for marriage is 14, we recognize that marriage when they get here. We don't say it's null and void and you have to start all over again. This bill takes away rights. I think all of us understand that. The question is that what we are as a state? Do we want to enact legislation that takes away people's rights? That's the question. Is there a public policy reason for this state to take away rights from other citizens of the country and the world? Thank you.
First time. Anyone else for their first time? Second time? First time. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, didn't intend to speak on this today. our Constitution and our statutes clearly define, as it stands right now without this measure, that a marriage is between a man and a woman. I interpret this in two different ways. One is that we are potentially asking the court to come in and intervene. I have a marriage that you need to have some sympathy for the other partner to the marriage, having been well over 60 years. And I'm not going to ask you to applaud or support that. She is the one that deserves any credit. There we go. The right to contract is one of the consistent rights that our fathers, our founding fathers, did agree on. They didn't agree on really much to begin with, other than the need for a unified several states. But they did agree that the right to contract was an individual right that they desired to protect. And that right was exemplified by the United States of America being the result of the failure of the various several states going their several ways. So in 1789, there was no question in their mind, even Hamilton and Jefferson agreed that the preservation of the federal government was a supreme desire over the several states. And so that is a provision, and it's a provision in our own Constitution. We have provided in some ways some exceptions to the universality of our nation. And one is we did this in our last session, where you don't have to be a citizen of the United States to be an officer of the court. That's one of the exceptions that our Supreme Court provided. And in providing that, they said, we hope that in the future that you will abolish this provision, this finding, and get back to being a universal right. And so I interpret this bill now to be one that does interfere with our ability to contract with people outside of our state as well as within our state. And I happen to be a fond, as you are, supporter of the Constitution of the United States of America. And so with that follows the rights of people as they come from other states to our state on and against the bill.
First time, Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow representatives, there's been extensive debate about House Bill 74. Reflect back when we first went to committee of the whole, when we go to first reading. Of course, today it's posed for a third reading, and the policy that we have, there's been a lot of discussion. I appreciate the discussion that's come forward. However, I would like to remind the body, and I'll be brief about that, because you can stand up and speak extensively about this. What is the policy of Wyoming going to be? Should marriage be between a man and a woman? And I submit to you, since 1876, that's been the rule. And I would direct your attention to the fact that we, as the legislature, have the policy. We have to set the requirements for what marriage is going to be. We do have a loophole in our structure, our law, our statutes, and that was explained in past debate and discussion. The hypothetical before the courts, do we want the courts to make this decision? I submit to you, no. It is something that we need to do, and we need to clarify and move forward with this particular piece of legislation. I feel that House Bill 74 establishes the necessary criteria we need to go forward. It allows us to answer questions for not only the citizens, but everyone that practices in the domestic relations area, and especially the judiciary. I also submit it is a beneficial thing for society, and I unquestionably stand here today and ask that we defeat the amendment and support the bill.
Anyone for their second time? Second time, Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And echoing the last speaker's comments, I do agree that the majority of us in this body believe marriage should be between a man and a woman, and that should probably be the policy of the state as it has been for a long time now. But that's different than what this bill does. And if that's the policy we want to make in this body, we have another week to go turn on a bill that just says marriage between man and a woman. But this restricts all contracts for all civil unions, and I've talked to many of you in here, and I think some of you are actually okay with the concept of a civil union. It's not a marriage, but we're invalidating those from entering our state. And before we get to the other legislation this session, it seems not a worthwhile step to move forward on this bill until we've heard debate on what civil unions are and how other states have worked with them and the possibility of giving people the basic rights and protections when they cross our state, even if they're not planning on staying here for a couple weeks and visiting any of the tourist sites in our state. So I'd ask you to vote no on the bill, and at this time I withdraw Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 74.
Third reading Amendment Number 1 is to House Bill 74 has been withdrawn. House Bill 74 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Licorie.
Aye.
Bonner.
No.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
No.
Connolly. Craft,
no.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Escobel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles excused, Greer,
aye.
Green,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker, Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
no.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
no.
Semlich,
aye.
Shepperson, Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
no.
Vronish,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 32 ayes, 27 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 74, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 74 has passed the House. We're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The House has resolved itself into committee of the whole. Representative Bonner.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the request of the Chairman, would you please move House Bill 124 to second to the bottom on your list and House Bill 66 to the bottom of your list?
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 95. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 95, introduced by Representative Harvey, enacting hospitalization of mentally ill persons. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Beasley, Throne. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Brown?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 95 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments. I turn explanation of the bill over to the sponsor.
Chairwoman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a really simple bill, should be able to get through it really quickly. I will start by saying there is a medical shortage. There is a shortage of medical providers in our state. Some areas in our state have more PAs than they do family physicians. And what this does is deals with Title 25 commitments. And if you turn to page 2 of the bill, lines 2 and 3, you can see that we just did a technical correction. There's not a licensure for a licensed advanced practitioner of nursing. The real name is an advanced practice registered nurse. So that was just a technical correction in the bill. Then if you go down to line 8, here's what we're trying to do. For purposes of emergency detention proceedings only, examiner includes a licensed physician assistant. So if you look above that, you're looking at the whole list of people who are considered examiners. The advanced practitioner nurse who has a specialty in psychiatric and mental health nursing working in collaboration with a licensed physician, a licensed psychologist, a licensed professional counselor, a licensed addictions therapist, a licensed clinical social worker, or a licensed marriage and family therapist. All those people are considered examiners. So when someone comes in to the emergency room and a PA is on call, then they're the ones who remove the bullet. They're the ones who sew up the wrists. They're the ones who prescribe medications that calm people down and get them to a point where they can talk to someone. They're the ones that we trust to do all of those things, and yet they're not allowed to sign the form that says that they were the initial examiner. Now, all that other laundry list of people won't come in, most generally, at the beginning of the process because the person is not conscious, because the person is not coherent, because the person is under the influence of prescribed medication. And so they can't really do a lot of talk therapy at that point to find out where the person belongs. So we just want to add the PA for the initial 72-hour hold. Now, if you go to the bottom of the page 2, starting on line 20, if a licensed physician assistant was the examiner of the proposed patient for purposes of the patient's emergency detention, then a hearing regarding involuntary hospitalization of that patient shall not be combined with the emergency detention hearing. So what that in essence does, some counties right now do combine those hearings into one. But this bill says, nope, if a PA is the one who was the initial examiner, he cannot be the pathway to long-term hospitalization. You must involve these other people that are the other people that are on lines 2 through 8 they must be the examiner for the long-term hospitalization. We do not want a PA to be the pathway to long-term hospitalization. But on the other hand, we do not want our family physicians who are overworked to be on call 24/7 to sign as initial examiners when all they're really going to do is go in and talk to the PA and says, well, what condition were they when they came in? The PA issues his report and the physician signs the piece of paper. So we just like to keep our physicians not overworked in the proper way. We don't want this to be the long-term pathway for someone to go into the long-term hospitalization, because that really does affect a person's life. And I don't think a PA is qualified to make that call. But they are qualified to say this person is a harm to themselves or others in that very initial 72-hour process. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for questions.
Thank you, Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure that I understand the process currently regarding physician's assistants. So physician's assistants are allowed to work in emergency rooms on medical conditions such as broken arms, cut fingers, and they're allowed to sew the person up, they're allowed to order the x-ray, set the bone, but they're not allowed to sign the paperwork. That paperwork has to be signed by the physician that's responsible for that PA. I just want to make sure that I understand that part of it first, Mr. Chairman, and then I might have a follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is correct. The PA can sew them up. The PA can prescribe the medication to calm them down. The PA can do all of that, but they cannot sign the paperwork. Then the physician must, at that point, come back to the hospital and sign that paperwork for the initial 72-hour hold.
Are there further questions? Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, I'm not really sure. I might be combining apples and oranges. The first question was just related to physical medical problems. So I guess I'm assuming does the doctor have to come back once the cut's sewn up and the paperwork is done? I'm trying to distinguish between the this process and the process where the person is physically injured. I just want to get that process in my head. So can the physician's assistant, if they cut up the finger, does the physician that's responsible for them still have to come back into the emergency room and sign the paper saying, yep, I've sewed this guy's finger up, we're going to go ahead and cut him loose, Mr. Chairman?
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, seldom people who are suicidal cut off their finger. We're talking about people who are considered a harm to themselves or others. And so generally what they cut is their wrists. Sometimes we have people who are called cutters who just make incisions all over their body or different places of their body. And when they come in to the hospital to get sewn up, then the PA does the sewing up, but they also, under this part of the law, if they're considered an examiner under this part of the law, they would be able to say, yes, they are a harm to themselves or others, and therefore could be held for 72 hours so that we can sew them up, so that we can get them calmed down, and so that during that 72-hour hold, then they see all of those people that are between lines 2 and 8. Then they see the psychiatrist, psychologist, advanced licensed addiction therapist. They see all of those people. The PA not only can physically sew up the wounds, but he also can order the medication. If someone comes in high on drugs, that would be an antidote and actually help calm them down. If someone comes in under the no influence of drugs and they're hysterical, then he also can prescribe the medication that will calm them down. But once they're under the influence of that medication, then the talk therapy, the people at the top end of this page can't conduct an adequate examination. And that is the reason why we want the PAs to be considered one of those examiners. Because if it's not the PA, then it must be the physician. And that's where we're putting our physicians, at least in my county, you're putting your physicians on call 24/7, whether or not a PA is covering the emergency room.
Are there further questions, Chairman Korberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'll answer the question this way. If the licensed physician's assistant under this change in statute is now allowed to sign for purposes of emergency detention, this licensed physician has to operate under a licensed doctor. So who is still responsible for the signature of the licensed physician's assistant signature on the 72-hour hold? Is it the doctor that is sponsoring this licensed physician, or are we now exempting doctors from that liability? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are not exempting the doctors from that liability, but we are allowing them to take a break, to take a vacation, to be out of town. That's what we're allowing.
Is there further, any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 95 do pass. All those, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 95 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 96. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 96, introduced by Representative Stepson, an act relating to motor vehicles passing bicycles. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave. No, Korberg, Vranish. Signed, Representative Korberg, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 96 do pass. And, Mr. Chairman, I further move Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 96. And I will allow the good sponsor of this piece of legislation from House District number 56 to explain to you both the bill and the Standing Committee Amendment.
Thank you. Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the body, I bring you House Bill 96 based upon a number of conversations I've had with people in my district that came to me with real concerns about the safety of bicyclists on our roads in our state. And it was interesting because I started talking to some folks in my town, and then as I got into this bill, started talking to folks around the state, and it becomes quickly clear that there is a real problem with bicyclist safety on state roads. I have one of the members of my own household is a bicyclist, and she regularly comes home with sort of tales of close calls and that sort of thing. But and I'm sure that if you talk to bicyclists in your own communities, you'll find out sort of a litany of horror stories on folks that have been on the roads and have been passed way too closely by vehicles as they've been on those roads. And so what we're doing with this bill, it's pretty simple. It sets 3-foot buffer, essentially, for bicyclists that are riding on state roads. To explain the amendment really quick, the department, when they looked over this bill, had some concerns about those roads that are overly narrow, that don't give you a space to get a 3-foot separation, and they wanted a provision in there to deal with that. And so what Section C, the Standing Committee Amendment, does is it simply says, look, if there's not enough room to give that 3 feet of separation, then you need to slow down and pass with care. And so with that, I'd go ahead and answer any questions on the amendment, and we can proceed with that, and then I'll jump back to the bill.
Are there questions on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1? None appearing. We'll call the question on Amendment Number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, to understand this bill in its totality, you also need to understand the rules of the road that bicyclists operate under. And first, you have to understand that in Wyoming, bicyclists have a right to be on the road. It doesn't talk about that, but it sort of underlines what this bill does, because bicyclists have the legal right to be on the road and to travel on the roadways. They also have certain legal obligations that they must meet when they ride on the road, and these are found in 315704. And that provision specifically says bicyclists on the roads in Wyoming have to ride as far to the right as they possibly can. They can't ride two abreast. You can only ride in single file, and if you're not doing that, you're violating the statutes, and you're subject to the penalties of the statutes. And so what this bill provides is that when you're overtaking, you have to provide at least that 3-foot buffer. And there was a lot of discussion about, well, maybe we should go bigger, larger than that, because when you have a big truck passing by, 3 feet isn't a lot, and even the wind from the truck can cause instability when you're on a bicycle. But knowing the narrow roadways around our state and the rural nature of our state, we thought that 3 feet would be an acceptable and reasonable amount of buffer. But what the bill also does is it allows and permits the department, bicyclist organizations across the state, to move forward really proactively and provide awareness for drivers around the state of this obligation and of their obligation to be mindful of bicyclists on the road, because, quite frankly, a lot of drivers around the state don't recognize that bikers have the right to be on the road and that you need to be careful with them. There was testimony, I thought pretty good testimony in the committee, that of circumstances where motorists had really kind of buzzed bicyclists, thinking that the bicyclists had no right to be there and had no right to be on the highways. This sets up a foundation so that the department and others can go out and do their public awareness campaign so that we can make sure that bicyclists on the state highways are safe. And so with that, I take any questions on the bill.
Thank you, Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When this law passed a couple years ago, I really had some very deep concerns about the safety of our cyclists in our state. But I guess my question is, was there any discussion about what part of the responsibilities on the part of cyclists to make sure they're actually riding on a road that's safe for the traffic volume? And thank you.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, to answer the last question, yes, there was discussion in the committee about this. And I wanted to share with the body a couple of things here. We had YDOT talk to us also. Normally, you will find, I'm not talking interstate now, this is more in the cities and towns where the majority of the cyclists very well may be. The lanes are 12 foot wide, so you have 24 foot here. You have the yellow line down between the two of these, and of course, being the motorist, you would veer your automobile over so that you are crowding the yellow line in order to get the 3 foot for the bicyclist here. And that's how this was all fit together. But it's a two-prong approach here. One is on the part of the motorist that will give or yield the distance to the bicyclist. Then the bicyclist has to be very careful and stay along the edge of the road. Now, all of us, I think, as we've traveled the various highways and things in Wyoming have seen bicyclists that will come out into the middle of the road and that kind of thing. So public education is going to be very crucial. Enforcement is going to be another prong that was long here because that was an issue that came up. How do you enforce these things? And then you as a motorist, how do you judge 3 feet? How does the police judge 3 feet if there's a violation? Unfortunately, the only way they're going to judge this is if there is a collision between the two operating entities. So that's a little bit of a background on this. I was supportive of the bill. I do believe that we're going to find more bicyclists that's going to come up, especially if we have the increase in gasoline taxes that very well may come forward. And so more of them will be self-propelled, motor-propelled by your individual capabilities. But that's a little background on this bill.
The chair promises to speak more distinctly. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I understand that the 3 foot separation is going to be judged kind of like our following too closely statute, that you're following too closely if you collide. But if you do actually collide with the bike, under current law, is there any sort of law that you could use to enforce somebody colliding with somebody else on a bike? And my other question is, maybe I missed it in the first explanation of the bill, but what are the penalties for this 3 foot separation violation?
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was kind of waiting for the sponsor to answer a couple of questions, but I'll bring these up again. I'm just really concerned with going down the road and the cyclists some of them are not really willing to get as far over as they can. It's kind of like they have the right to be there. And if you're on a narrow road, and the one I used a couple of years ago was going into Yellowstone Park with a trailer, and bicycles are there, it's just tough. You've got a bunch of people behind you. You're trying to go 30 miles an hour, and you come up on the bicycles, and I'm just really a little bit afraid of this legislation because I think there's a statute in IAS that says bicycles have a right to be on the road, but the road, you know, are they being reasonable or are they as far off as they could get? And realizing if you're passing with your horse trailer and you come to another horse trailer, there just about isn't 3 feet from anybody. So I just think the bicycles have a big bunch of responsibility instead of saying, well, it's all the motor vehicles. I think we need a little bit of responsibility for a bicycle rather than saying, if you hit them, it's your fault. And the amendment just says you got to slow down. If you got to slow down to 5 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour, which they're going, they still have that right of way. So I'd like the sponsor just to respond to that concern because I think it's really a hazard on the road. And I agree we need to stick up for the bicycle, but what about the safety, especially on narrow two-lane roads?
Further discussion, Representative Kasparek.
Mr. Chairman, I support the concept of the bill, but like the last speaker, I struggle with how much is slowing down. Is it slowing down from 30 to 20, 30 to 10, 50 to 30? I'm not sure how we measure that or you know, there's going to be somebody who's making that decision, but I don't think it's clearly defined for me. Thank you.
Further, for the first time, Representative Freeman.
Mr. Chairman, I'm a bicycle tourist, although in the last couple of years I haven't been able to do that. So I'm one of those people that are in those funny get-ups on side of the road who is going a little bit too slow. And I share a lot of the feelings which you have here. I drive a lot more than I bicycle, and that's obvious by my girth. But most cyclists are on to the right. There are some cyclists that are going to play the games. There's also, I can speak from personal experience, and I'll pick on, I guess I can't, I'll pick on motorhomes that like to see how close they can get to you when you're on the side of the road. The way that I read this bill, it says, let's be reasonable and let's share the road with everybody that wants to use it. So I speak in favor of the bill.
Thank you, Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to answer the good representative from the Southwest that that narrowness that can, on small, windy roads, in Europe, it works really well. They have these rules over there, and the general driving population understands that, and there's far more bicycles, far narrower roads, and there's just a respect there and due to their regulations, and it works really well. Thank you.
Representative Stepson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To answer some of the questions out there, I think it's useful to think of your driving and your driving habits in another scenario, and that's one that we've all come across, which is when we're overpassing a tractor that's going, you know, 15, 20 miles an hour. And when we, no matter how narrow the road is, when we pass that tractor, we certainly give them 3 feet. Usually we give them more, but we certainly give them 3 feet. And why is that? Because we know the consequences of hitting that tractor. And so this is just another vehicle that has rights to the road, but the circumstances, I guess the consequences of not giving that fair space to bicyclists are, of course, much more devastating, because you're not just dealing with property damage. You're dealing with the loss of lives and injuries. And in our own community, there's been just two circumstances I can think of over the last 10 years where this exact same thing happened, that you had a car going along, they were hugging the right side, there was a bicyclist there, they didn't give him space, and a fatality resulted. And so, you know, we do this all the time. We come across slow traffic moving that's traveling along the right side of the road, and we give them a fair berth. And whether it's a tractor or a bicycle, you should do that, but you certainly should do that in the circumstance of the more vulnerable vehicle. To go back, and there was a question about where are these general rights of bicyclists to be on the road, and that's in 31.5.702, and it basically just says every person on a bike has all the rights applicable to the driver of any vehicle under the Act, but it also says they have all the obligations, including those obligations to be to the furthest right to the road that they can travel. So, again, I think if you're looking at it, as these folks have a right to be on highways, shouldn't we do what's reasonable to protect their safety, given that we've given them permission to be out there?
Thank you. Chairman Korberg.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, as you could tell from the reading of the bill, I was a no vote on this bill. And I actually felt like there was adequate protections. The duties of the driver in the vehicle are already adequately outlined in our traffic rules. We already know that the bicyclist also is obligated. In the event that the motorist hits the bicyclist, clearly there are statutes that allow for punishment and penalty. Everything from, we know we now have careless driving, we have reckless driving, heaven forbid we have involuntary manslaughter. I mean, we have all of the, or involuntary vehicular. We have the statutes on the books right now to take care of this. It's about teaching both the bicyclist and the driver that there's common sense to be used, that there's the rules of the road, there's politeness. I heard over and over again when this bill was presented, well, this will allow us, we're going to pass this so that it will raise awareness. And I've been in this body long enough, and you've all heard me talk many times, that I'm not a big fan of putting bill rules, laws into effect that promote awareness. This subsection B is very explicit. It says the driver of a motor vehicle overtaking and passing a bicycle proceeding in the same direction shall at all times
maintain at least a 3-foot separation. So that means if that bicyclist starts to move over from the right into the shoulder for whatever reason, there's something on the shoulder of the road, if you're, the way I read it, if you're overtaking that bicyclist, and you're going to have to continue to move out toward the center line. And then the amendment just seemed to be so generic. I mean, it's up to the driver to decide if the roadway's of insufficient width to allow safe passage. It says they have to reduce speed, doesn't say by how much, and they have to pass with care. I just think that this is putting a law on the books that's going to be very difficult to enforce. I would have preferred, and I haven't taken a driver's test in a long time, that we have tests that part of the testing questions be about politeness on the road and what do you do when you meet a bicyclist on the road. And I'm not even sure that's part of our driver's test today. Or it's in the book that you treat bicyclists with respect, that they do have a right to the road. But just to put a law on the books that says, well, if we put this on the books, it's going to help raise awareness. And, oh, by the way, we have lots of money to spend to promote awareness. And when asked the question, do you need this law on the books to spend the money now to promote bicycle awareness, the answer was no. So why aren't we doing it now with the funds that we have available to us? I just don't think that this bill is a good idea, and I'm on and against the bill.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With my good colleague from District 28, I agree, so I will try not to repeat what she had said, but maybe expand on that just a little bit. The education of drivers, I think, is very important. I think that concept is very important. However, when we look at the structure of this, I'm afraid that this bill is going to impose almost strict liability on our drivers when there is an unfortunate accident involving a bicyclist. Because of the laws regarding bicyclists and the fact that they are to try to get over to the right as far as they can, that gives them discretion. But a motorist under this law shall maintain 3 feet. It means any time a motorist hits a bicyclist, that they're the ones that are going to be liable. And I'm looking to civil liability in terms of that. And, you know, we want to look at causation, but when you have a state statute that comes in and puts such a specific duty, you're going to lose that causation. And as a good chairman just prior spoke, we already have statutes regarding reckless and careless driving laws to allow us to sort out who was at fault or what happened in that accident. Again, I really think the education aspect of this bill, I really like that concept. But because of the shift in liability and that unintended consequence, I have to oppose this bill.
Chairman Elkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking on and in favor of the bill, and with full disclosure, I have had a friend that was injured in a vehicle, not giving him room enough. He went off in the ditch and was seriously injured, and it has lasted with him for a long time. So I think this is a good bill because I think there are a lot of motorists that don't know how much distance to give a bicyclist. I think that clears this up, and it makes it very clear that there is an obligation on the vehicle, which has the advantage in a vehicle-bicycle match, they got to make the move to give some clearance. So I think it's a good bill. I urge your support.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In just hearing what's going on, I do think good discussion to have, but I think this bill goes in the wrong direction of just saying it's all vehicles. So I'm going to oppose the bill, and if we can come back with something that says, well, here's what we're going to say for the vehicles, I want something that says, here's what we have for the bicycles. I just think we're negating the thing that my big concern is the bicycles, they have the right, and by darn, they're going to take the right without any consideration of, wow, here comes two big motorhomes that aren't going to fit, And I could help the situation by getting over a little bit, but by darn, I have the right, and if they don't give me 3 feet. So I'm opposed to the bill unless we can have the same responsibility and education for the bicycles that we're trying to get for the vehicles. Thank you.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the last couple comments sort of missed the mark because they focus on the bill and not what's already in the law. The fact is that the inequity exists right now where you have specific obligations on the bicyclist to stay to the right side of the road. You have a specific right for them to be on the road, and yet you provide no protection for them. And the tenor of the discussion is, to me, is somewhat disturbing when we talk about, well, let's figure it out after we've had an accident, then we can figure out responsibility. Well, that's not the point of this. This bill is to prevent those accidents and to prevent all the, of course, the liabilities and all the horrors that extend from those accidents. The bill is very clear. I mean, I think the amendment makes the bill even better because what we have is a situation where we recognize you exercise common sense. When you're overtaking a bicyclist, you need to reduce your speed and pass safely. And that's all this bill does. And you can, I wish I had a yardstick here because you know that 3 feet is a very limited amount of space on the roads. And if you've ever stood along the side of an interstate and had a 18-wheeler blow by you when you're 10 feet, 20 feet off the road, you know how little space 3 feet is. So this says let's set a minimal space, a minimal setback, so that bicyclists who we have told have the right to use our roads can be safe on those roads, so that we eliminate injuries, not so that we sort them out after the fact.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would suggest that my very, very good friend from House District 18, who indicated that a bicyclist, because they had the right to 3 feet, would take on an 18-wheeler is bizarre. I don't think they're going to do that. And I would not use that as an argument against this bill. I think it's a good bill. I urge your support.
Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you. I do believe bicycles are excluded from interstate highways for a very good reason, because of all the truck traffic, the high-speed traffic, and some of the things that can happen if they're get too close to them. What we're overlooking in this debate, in my mind, is both parties have a responsibility to travel safely down the road. The bicyclist has a responsibility to try and stay as far as the right to the right as he can possibly do that. And the department has moved some of their rumble strips closer to the travel way so the bicyclists are able to have a wider berth to more room before they get to the shoulder. These are all issues of safety, public safety. I don't believe we need more laws on the books to deal with this, whether it's 3 feet, 5 feet, whatever you can do. I agree with the chair of transportation. This could lead to some real serious problems farther on. On and against the bill.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Korberg's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a due pass recommendation on Bill number 96, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
House Bill number 96 has passed Committee of the Whole. No, I said it's happened. Division being called. All those in favor of House Bill 96, please stand. House Bill 96 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the House stand in recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor indicate by aye. Opposed? The House is in, no, committee reports. Chairman Berger.
How could she do it first?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, too, will meet at 1:15 to hear House Bill 50 and 49, and actually it's to work the finance part of it.
Chairman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet immediately upon noon recess in House 18. We're going to discuss House Bill 63, Subdivisions Water Study, House Joint Resolution 5, County-City Consolidation, House Bill 180, Liquor Licenses, Cultural Event Permit, and if time permits, House Bill 186, Wyoming Lottery.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet Monday, January 24th. That's today, 15 minutes upon adjournment in room H-17, where we will reconsider House Bill 65. We'll also hear House Bill 39, a Health Litigation Fund, House Bill 106, Departments of Employment and Workforce Services merger.
Chairman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet in about 15 minutes in room H8 to continue working House Bill 120 public meetings, House Bill 121 public records, and House Bill 56 plaintiffs and wrongful death actions.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet at Wednesday at 8 a.m., room H18, to consider the following bills: House Bill 114, Insurance Premiums Failure to Pay, House Bill 129, Nuclear Energy Production Study, and House Bill 48, Placement of Wind Energy Facilities.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, 10 minutes after adjournment in room H-17. We will be discussing House Bill 154, Multiple Special Handicapped License Plates, House Bill 77, Disabled Veterans License Plate, Handicapped Parking.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The account manager for our phone service will be holding an open session Tuesday, January 25th from 12 to 2 in the basement conference room. To discuss the benefits and features of smartphones and how they can meet your mobile application needs. This is an open session, so feel free to drop in any time between noon and 2.
Is there a motion for the House is in recess until 2 p.m.?